Coming up, a special new thank you gift from Splitting Slices, a new knife from a company called Tesseract, and these knives have seen action. Historical blades from my brother. I'm Bob DeMarco. This is the Knife Junkie Podcast.
Welcome to the Knife Junkie Podcast, your weekly dose of knife news and information about knives and knife collecting. Here's your host, Bob the Knife Junkie DeMarco.
One of my favorite comments from this past week was about the word Tesseract, as you just heard in the opener. Salvador Dali did a crucifixion represented in a Tesseract shape. And a Tesseract is a four-dimensional cube. And so Salvador Dali did a picture of that. We were talking about the Tesseract during Thursday Night Knives 2 weeks ago. And I was wondering what the shape was, and then we looked it up. And so thank you very much, Marcus G503. Much appreciated. Another favorite comment was about the Lynn Thompson cold steel interview. We still get a lot of views and comments on that one. APOP4RC says, Lynn made cold steel, in many ways, the ultimate knife manufacturer. Couldn't agree more. With wild and creative enough stuff to get people excited and curious about knives, and serious enough stuff to keep people as customers long term. What a fun company. And I got to agree with you, AP. Fun is a great way to describe cold steel. Among many other adjectives, fun keeps rising to the top because they challenge us with cool new designs. They excite us with historical designs that we all want combat versions of. And they just keep coming year after year. So thanks one and all for the comments and the views. Greatly appreciated. And we're excited to bring you more and more content every week. All of that said, let us do get to a pocket check.
What's in his pocket? Let's find out. Here's the Knife Junkie with his pocket check of knives.
In my pocket today was the Microtech Stitch. I've really had a hard time bumping this one from my pocket. This is the Microtech Stitch Ramlock with the aluminum handle. Now, I had this without the serrations in the house not too long ago when it was on loan from Jock's Knife, a good buddy across the shock. And I remember saying, oh, it's great to experience this knife and to have it and to know that I don't need to go get it. Because that cutting edge to handle ratio, blah, blah, blah. And then I couldn't get it out of my mind. And part of that was due to the fact that my good buddy Dave, this old sword, Blade Reviews, sent me a just a fun little, what are you going to call it? A fugazi of an automatic version of a Stitch. So I had a chance to hold it in hand again and got hooked. And so eventually got this. I've been carrying this a lot. I got this in the Amphibian right around the same time. On paper, the Amphibian is way more my style of knife, but I've just been carrying this one more. I absolutely love it. And that blade is wickedly sharp. And I have a feeling those serrations are really going to go the distance, especially considering I hardly use my knives. All right, next up, this is from Jack Wolf Knives. I carry Jack Wolf Knives all the time. I'm one of the lucky ones who gets a new one every time it comes out, thanks to the generosity of Ben Belkin. And also, he knows what he's doing. He gets it in the hands of people who really love his work. And we can't help but blather on about how awesome his knives are. Just so happens, he's got a sale going on, or Jack Wolf Knives has a sale going on in the month of April. In lieu of a drop, they've got some of these actually available. This is the Midnight Jack, probably, in the top three of the slip joints, and definitely in the top two of the front flippers, because the After Hours Jack is like a sized up version of this. Absolutely. Love that sheep's foot blade, that deep hollow grind, and that satin finish. So if you're interested in these knives and think that they're overpriced or they're out of reach, go check them out now. They're 20% off, and this was something I just got from an email sent to me, so this is not a paid advertisement. Would that it were. No, actually, it is paid in all these awesome Jack Wolf knives I've gotten. So go check that out. I think they have the sharpshooter jack, not the gunslinger, and they have the the little bro, the boy's knife. Probably my favorite size of slip joint. All right, next up, on my waistband, I had the MR1 from Tikal Knives. I got to say, all these amazing fixed blade knives I have, I keep coming back to the MR1 and the Night Stalker because of how easily they ride on the belt with that awesome sheath. That is why I designed my collaboration knife with Tikal Knives to fit exactly in that profile, because I love it. I love how it fits. It's the perfect size. And then with his super low profile sheaths and a discreet carry concepts clip, wearing this scout style up front, right in front of my belt buckle, is just the most comfortable way, seriously, the most comfortable way, but also the most accessible way for me to carry a fixed blade these days. I know people love pocket carry, lots of cool pocket carry options. Actually, I have a new one coming to me real soon. It's pocket carry, fixed blade tactical. That's awesome. I can't wait to show it off to you guys from a new company. This belt carry, I'm just hooked on. And I've been, with this, I had a lot of sort of straight edge blades, so I went for straight edge again, and this one, Pikal, just because this was on me for a self-defense knife today. So, a discreet package, perfectly sized, really nicely aligned ring on the end of that pommel allows you to make a real tight fist without altering your grip. Also, with the spring and the lighter clothes coming out, I got the Arnie back out, put it on a NATO band, though. That rubber strap was starting to bug my hairy wrist. But, I love this knife. Love this watch. It's so tall that when I have a lot of layers on in the winter, I tend not to wear it. All right. Last up on me today for emotional support was the awesome Pony Stout. This is by Devo Knives, our good friend Colin Maison-Pierre, and Kevin Johnson of Lefty EDC, their company Devo Knives. Devo because they're divas, but male, so Devos about certain things like detent and other things. But what a beautiful, beautiful knife. I really love this Pony Stout. I'm not sure about the stout, the full size. I haven't experienced that. I'm sure it's awesome. But for me, this small size is perfect because the regular stout is in that medium size category that I tend not to carry as much. I tend to go for the larger knives and the smaller knives. And this is about a 3 incher, so it's perfect size for the back pocket. Deep hollow grind, is very, very efficient, for cutting. You got that nice low tip, and a really cool design. That blade, I think, is very, very, fetching. Gorgeous, gorgeous knife. So this is, has contoured G10. I'm not sure if these are available right now. I think the Pony Stouts, they tend to have because they're, not as premium as their premium knives, obviously, which are more, drop based, if I'm correct. I don't know. Go to devoknives.com and check it out. All right. This is what I had on me today. The incredible Ramlock Stitch. I had the beautiful and classy, Midnight Jack from Jack Wolf Knives. I had the MR1, a tactical knife created for a Marine Raider unit, by Tikal Knives, and then the Devo Stout. What did you have on you? Let me know. Drop it in the comments below. Always love the inspiration of that. All right. I just wanted to thank my good friend Byron Kennedy. He's got a channel called Split and Slices. I'm going to put this, sticker so you can see. I love it. Pizza and knives, just about my two favorite things in the entire world. Let's go like this. God and family, knives, pizza, right? That's pretty much how it works. Split and slices. Look at that. I love that big K-bar hatchet, cutting up that beautiful looking pie. Looks like that pizza, by the way, has, pieces of prosciutto on it, which I really like. Kind of getting crispy around the edges. Anyway, Byron, known to all of us, started his own channel, and it's awesome. I love his shorts. I see them whenever they're posted. And it's so cool to, at long last, have a voice and a face to a name, a generous and fun name who's always a part of the chats, at Thursday Night Knives. Anyway, I heard he was starting up a channel, Of course, I have the good fortune of having a channel for a little while, so I get knives coming in and knives given to me, and I have a lot of knives. So I gifted some to Byron to put up to feature on his channel, and he thanked me with such an incredible gift. Me and my wife, I got to say, I got a package from Byron and his wife as a thank you for those knives and for the support, and I can't believe how generous he was, but you got to check this out. First, before I get to this, I have to say, they put in a beautiful pink bandana, some European chocolates, I think from Belgium, and this really nice perfume sample that my wife is now wearing all the time that smells really good. Even my daughters have been walking around in her wake. What smells so good? But look at what he got me. A Victorinox Swiss Army 2. Swiss Army 2. This one is hard to find. And I think, and I need to corroborate with Byron, but I think he got this in Europe on a recent tour, because this is a very hard knife to find. And I do know in Cologne, for instance, there's a Victorinox store where you can go in and custom build a knife or buy knives that you can't really get here in the States. So look at this. This is a Swiss Army 2. It's one of the 93 millimeter Alox models, and it has a single spring like the Swiss Army 1. However, it's got two tools. So it's got the usual big blade, which, Byron, thank you so much for this. Look, on one side, Bob DeMarco, it says. On the reverse side, The Knife Junkie, it says. Thank you so much, Byron. This is such a classy thank you gift. Totally unnecessary, but so appreciated. I'm so glad you did. You didn't have to, but I'm so glad you did, as they say. And then this. It's got that really cool hawk-billed pruning knife. Of course, that's the reason I've been pining for this knife, and somewhat publicly for a little while, since I got the Swiss Army 1. And I got to say, Byron, you listen. That must make you a very good husband. I got to say, you listen, you knew, and you got this for me. I really appreciate it. I wish all the luck to you and your wife, who seems lovely, and your awesome channel, Split and Slices. So please continue with the success, and thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful gift. It will never obviously leave the collection, but I have a feeling it's not going to leave the pocket for quite some time. All right, still to come, we're going to have Knife Life news, and then we're going to look at the state of the collection, get to our main topic. But before we do, I just want to say, if you feel like supporting the show, if you think what we do here is valuable and you want to sling us some ducats, as they say, or as I say, go to theknifejunkie.com/Patreon and check out what you would get in return. Again, that's theknifejunkie.com/Patreon.
Among this week's specials at Knives Ship Free, the Lon Humphrey Blacktail, built in his shop in the woods of Ohio, these blades are forged from 52-100 tool steel. It's an excellent size with killer good looks and a spread of eye-catching handles to choose from. Murray Carter and his highly skilled apprentices make some of the sharpest knives you'll ever find, forging them by hand from laminated Sanmai steel. There's a new batch in stock, but they won't last long. And the Copus Elvia is a lightweight, discreet field knife that weighs just 1.95 ounces in the sheath. It's made in the USA, and it never stays in stock for long. Get these deals and other great specials from Knives Ship Free. Just use our affiliate link, theknifejunkie.com/knivesshipfree. Support the show and get a great new knife at the same time. theknifejunkie.com/knivesshipfree.
You're listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast, and now here's the Knife Junkie with the Knife Life News.
Well, if you didn't hit skip forward 30 seconds twice over this past minute, you saw the first item of interest here in Knife Life News, and that is the new Copus Designs Elvia. And Knives Ship Free has been the exclusive dealer or a carrier of the Copus Designs Elvia. Now, the Copus Designs Elvia is a collaboration between Copus Designs, who does a lot of cool little defense knives and also defense things like nucks and shivs and different cool stuff. They do a lot of really interesting design, like non-knife things that you can see at their table at Blade Show. But now they have the Elvia out with that thumb scoop. And this is not totally new to them, but it just so happens I have one in-house. This is on loan from Jock's Knife. He just bought one of these from this very drop we're talking about. And this is the Copus Designs Elvia. And if you notice, well, I'll show it with my Elvia, actually. So they've made a few changes here. The sheath is slightly different, a little less of a scoop. That scoop is if you don't have a clip on it, you drop it in the pocket, just loose like this. When you pull it out, you can hook this on the inside of your pocket and draw the knife. So here is the knife. And man, no denying, it just looks super cool with that thumb swale on the back. This is a Pikal style self-defense knife, no doubt. But it is also a really good utility knife. And that thumb swale really helps. Just for reference, this is the original. It is the same width, 154cm blade steel and the same width FRN handle. Mine just has a Sukamaki wrap on it from Bright for War Knives right there. But just an example of the difference. Okay, so 154cm, injection molded handle, FRN. Ed Calderon, of course, is the collaborator. You can just see it's the same thing with a little... it's like they touched the back of this one with a contact wheel and took some out. Really, really nice. The thing about this is with the sheath, 2 ounces. That is 2 ounces of some of the gnarliest self-defense you're going to find. And then you wrap that with jute cord or you do a Sukamaki wrap like I just had, but add a little bit of width, a little bit of grip, and it's even sure in hand and more of an EDC, less of a undercover kind of knife. But if you want to keep it nice and slim and light, there you go. So it's not usual, it's not a frequent thing that for a Knife Life news story, I have the knife to show that we're talking about. So actually, it's going to happen. Lightning is striking twice because the next story, this is a very exciting one, a new knife from the Tactile Knife Company. You know Tactile Knife. They sprouted out of Tactile Turn Pen Company. Tactile Knife debuted with the Rockwall. Awesome flipper. And then they followed that up with the Bear, also named after a Texas county. And the Bear is a clip point slip joint and a great knife. And then they followed on with a lot of other knives, some collaborations with Christensen Bladeworks and Richard Rogers. And this is the newest one. You know, the Tactile Knife, all made in Dallas, all made in the same spot. A couple of things they have to go down the street to get, but everything Texas made, everything USA made, can get pricey. However, they are releasing this, the Chupacabra. And the Chupacabra is their first attempt at, no, I shouldn't say attempt, this is their first more affordable knife. This is coming in at $187, and it is worth it. I mean, if you get rid of the entire thing and just keep the blade, that is worth the $187. It is Magna Cut and exquisitely ground. It is a super thin. I've had this knife for about 4 days now, and I have been zipping. I've been doing everything around the house with this knife. I've been carrying it as a full-time EDC. Today was kind of the first day knocking it out of the pocket as an EDC, but it is really, really a great blade. And it's got some substantial blade stock, but that full, nearly full height hollow grind comes to almost a zero edge and then knock back with that relief edge. It is something else. But what makes it affordable is that aluminum body. It's got steel liners and aluminum body. And yes, it's got the Super Lock from Snex. The Super, you know, Snex Tan, he's a, an Indonesian knife maker Malaysian knife maker who has cataloged a lot of his knife making pursuits and investigations on Instagram. I'm a big fan of his work. Here, Civivi did a version of his knife in the Vision using that same lock. So the lock you lift up and it pulls out of a notch in the blade and there it just drops. Super, super smooth. So that's a 3.3-inch Magna Cut sheep's foot blade with a little bit of belly. I love that blade, and I love the sharpening notch, or, you know, the way the edge terminates. Jared Neeb would approve. It's got an aluminum handle, which keeps the cost down, but that Super Lock by Snex Tan makes it ambidextrous, as does the pocket clip, and makes it unique and fidgety, I gotta say. If you use the thumb, there's enough ricasso there to drop on the finger and close. This thing is super smooth. This drops tomorrow, by the way. This drops tomorrow, April 11th, Thursday, April 11th. So get ready. And look, the pommel, if you care, is perfect for a reverse grip. Perfect. Just hook the thumb over the top of that pommel, and you're going into whatever you're thrusting into. What a great knife. I'm loving this thing so far. And this is the first time I've been able to mention it. So very excited about this knife. Go check it out. All made in Dallas, all made in Texas, 100% designed in-house and, licensed Snex Super Lock, all for under $200. That is a steal and a half. If you ever like have a, not craving, but a real desire to support an American maker and it's out of reach, this is becoming within reach. This is something you can save up for. Many of us can save up for. I can't speak for everyone, but check it out. I'm excited about that knife. Okay. Next up, this is a cool one from Kambu. Kambu has been on the show a couple of times here. He's an awesome dude, a Polish designer, and he works exclusively for Bestech and has made, has created their whole bouquet line, but also a lot of big, chunky, tactical, gorgeously sculpted designs and knives here. Well, this new one is called the Serif, and look at that thing. Man, it is unique. So a lot of his knives have a sort of organic feel. This one has sort of a tech feel to it, with the angles and the lines and the barely perceivable pocket clip, the way it blends in with all the milling and the lines. 3.66 inches of M390. Of course, that beautiful clip point blade. I'm a sucker for a clip. And you have that sort of bullet-shaped, bullet-contoured fuller for opening and also for lightening the blade and rigidity. It is a flipper. Oversized pivot collar is very, that's kind of the central point of the whole knife. Very cool and stylized. Titanium handle, heavily sculpted. And this will be available soon, in air quotes. I don't know what soon means to Bestech, but I have a feeling soon means in the next couple of months. I mean, they are definitely before Blade Show. They seem to move pretty quickly on knives. Speaking of a company that moves quickly on knives, the last in our Knife Life News stories today, Civivi has a new one, and it's in keeping with their new naming convention. This one is called the Civivi Star Flare. So kind of a compound word having to do with astronomy. We've been seeing that a bit, with Sencut and Civivi. This is a 3.2 inch Nitro V, worn clip. I gotta say, that is a pretty knife. That is a really pretty knife. Of course, I love the way they always incorporate the C, the branding is very discreet right on the pivot. And then any markings on the blade are microscopic for this 52-year-old man to read. And I prefer that. So they always look very, what's the word people use? Not clean, but, not generic, but, well, you know what I'm saying. No markings, no billboarding. I love it. Aluminum body. It's got these lines that carry, milled lines that carry through the grip onto the knife. I like that sort of thing. I don't have that on many blades, but Kambu, the last designer we were talking about, does that in spades, kind of continues lines and milled flourishes from the handle into the blade. This has that and a button lock. Of course, I love aluminum handles. One concern might be how far back that finger choil is from the edge of the blade, but presumably that little hump under the pivot is comfortable enough for your fingers, for your forefinger to land on and to rest on as you do the light work you're going to do with this 3.2 inch blade. This is 3.45 ounces, which at first I thought, oh, that's nice and light, but for a small knife like this, it's not that light. Available next month, that's May 2024. That's the Civivi Star Flare. Do check it out. It's a classy, classy little warning. All right, coming up, State of the Collection, we're going to see some knives my brother got me because I visited home and got to see got a couple of gifts from the past couple of holidays and birthdays and stuff from him. And then we're going to move on to a whole category of the amazing historical stuff knives my brother has got me. Coming up on the Knife Junkie Podcast.
The Shockwave Tactical Torch is your ultimate self-defense companion. Featuring a powerful LED bulb that lasts 100,000 hours, a super sharp crenulated bezel, and built-in stun gun delivering 4.5 million volts. Don't settle for ordinary. Choose the Shockwave Tactical Torch. TheKnifeJunkie.com/shockwave.
So this first one is a Kissing Crane's stiletto. It's not an automatic, but it's a very, very stout and nicely built stiletto-style knife. Kissing Crane's out of Deutschland, I believe. Rostfrei, it says on there. Now, this is something my brother got from a leather show. And when he says leather show, he actually means gun show. That's just code. He does a lot of leather crafting. But when he wants to go spend money on something that maybe he doesn't want his wife to know about, he says leather show. So that's code. Sorry, I just blew your code, Vic. But code for leather show is gun show. And that's where he got this. A beautiful 4¼-inch crisp blade that fits into this beautiful stag handle. From all accounts, this seems to be real stag to me. It's uneven and weird. And when you look at it from the sides, you see the pores. I think this is real. And if it's not, it'll do to the real thing gets here. It feels more like stag than stagalon, that's for sure. And it's all uneven and weird. It doesn't seem mass produced. This one is a backlock. Most of the knives I know in this configuration are bolster locks. So you just slide the bolster down. But in this case, it's a backlock, which is way sturdier in my estimation, and a really nicely sharpened crisp blade. You've got three humps for the cutting, 1, 2, 3, and then an upturned, upswept tip. In the Filipino application and the Malaysian and Indonesian application of the crisp, it's actually presented with that tip down, so you get that snagging sort of hawkbill effect from the tip of the blade. But this is sort of more of an Italian Western style stiletto with the wavy flamberge blade. I guess it's more of a French style blade than it is a Filipino blade, but it still has those waves. And everyone knows, whether you're French or Filipino, those waves are like big serrations, and they widen a wound channel going in, and they're also nasty on a slash. So to me, this is kind of a gangster's knife. This will fit in the classy assassin category for me, back of the head or, liver shot with this, and then you keep walking through the crowd. That's what this is all about. So thank you, Vito. I love this thing. Those are not brass liners. Those are some sort of metal, probably steel, with a kind of a cheesy anodization on it, but I don't mind that. The rest of the knife is so high quality, and none of that anodization or coloring, whatever it is, coating has worn off. And it seems to be a knife that has been around the block. So thank you, Vic. I love that thing. It is awesome. Next up, from the company we were talking about earlier, we were talking about Salvador Dali, and that's the Tesseract. This thing is so cool. So Tesseract reached out to me, Tesseract Tactical. They are a Kansas City-based company, a consortium of designers, designers with their fine eye and their cool clothes and their awesome mid-century modern furniture. They designed this knife and had it produced. And I don't know where they had it produced, but if I had to guess, I would say they had it produced by Kaiser. This is obviously an OEM knife. This was not made in Kansas. It was designed there in Kansas City, designed there and engineered there, labored over there, in many ways. But the knife itself was OEM'd somewhere. And I swear, just from my experience, it feels like a Kaiser. It is buttery smooth. I mean, the action is incredible. And there is no, as Metal Complex would say, double clutch. As soon as you release the lock, it is smooth all the way down. There's no secondary bump up onto the tang of the blade. For that detent ball. That's S35VN and a very nice sheep's foot blade with a belly. This thing is super keen, super duper sharp, and if you will please forgive the term. And then look at this. The handle is great. I mean, the liners, I believe, are stainless, and there's no weight reduction in there, so it gives it a real solid feel, but not overly heavy. You've got jimping all the way down as far as my thumb can reach, which is very, very, very welcome, not only for my thumb, but also my forefinger in that sort of utility grip, which is definitely where this knife accelerates, not only in the blade, but in the grip. Look at that. This is excellent for that. On the handle, you've got nice thick liners, and though there is no cutout for the lock bar at all, it easily disengages with the way it's cut out, with that slot cut out there. So very easy disengagement, really nice flip, great drop shot action, a sturdy peel-ply black G10, and then you turn it on its side, and it's got orange liners. It's just a little extra bit of luxe there. And so it looks nice, and then look at that. Totally, they have a cool Tesseract logo there on the blade. And then they have their marking there on the backstop or on the backspacer, and then you see that cool logo again at the tip of the clip, which seems ambidextrous. Yes, there's a screw there and a screw on top. You can take this off. It's a symmetrical clip. Remove that screw and have it set up for lefty. So this is a fully ambidextrous knife, and also great opening on that opening hole. So I'm going to do a close-up video of this. I've had it for a couple of weeks now. Brought it with me on my recent trip. Had a chance to use it a lot, and I love it. What did I use it for? Mostly for food. I was helping my mom, sous chef, a little bit in the kitchen, whatever she'll allow. She's very fussy in the kitchen. I don't like how you do it. I don't like how you wash dishes. You get water on the floor, this kind of thing. Like, yeah, but I could help you. You wouldn't have to be in here till 9 o'clock. I don't like how you do it, she says. But she will let me cut stuff because she knows how much I love knives. So I did use this. Great for vegetables. Not what you're probably going to use it for, but this Tesseract NF1 is a really cool and impressive knife. So do go check them out. I believe these are up for sale on their website. When I got it, they weren't, and now they are. Tesseract NF1. All right, next up, this one is on loan from Jock's Knife. I'm a knife mule for Jock's Knife, and before I send it along to him, I get a chance to live with it and check it out. I never carry the knives that are drop shipped to me or on loan to me from my mule clients, but I do get to check them out, and this is the new Turner CNC Elvia V2. This is the large one. And I'm showing you it in the sheath because you can see it looks like a dagger sheath, but that's only because this is a fully ambidextrous sheath, which is so sweet. You just pop this wherever you want it, left side, right side, 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock, right appendix, whatever it is. And no matter where you put it, this funky shaped knife is going to go in either way. So this is the large version of the Elvia. And man alive, is it ever sweet. Really nicely, thinly hollow ground M390 with a wicked, wicked tip. And of course, it's that fruit knife setup. So, yeah, you can use it for all sorts of EDC chores, and such, but really it's intended as a self-defense weapon in this Pakal style grip with the tip down and the edge in. You get this wicked animalistic clawing style motion. If you will, way more animalistic than the karambit, which faces outward and requires a weird different motion that requires a lot of training. But the call style really just requires you have that sort of adrenaline pumping and that your joints all work and you can grip the knife. If you can slash it into someone and pull, this knife will work for you. A cool thing about Turner CNC is his close affiliation with Ed Calderon. Ed Calderon is the again the collaborator on this, as he was on the Copus Designs Elvia. This one here, you can, since Ed Calderon is not only into, you know, knife fighting, but he's into all sorts of different urban survival things, including how do you escape a kidnapping? How do you survive in a hostile urban environment with only a few little everyday items? So this knife, you can remove those scales with one of the two pennies they send you, because those screws are meant to be unscrewed with pennies, and you can stash goods inside the handle. So very, very cool. Excellent clip, excellent sheath, really amazing knife. So an exciting knife. Well, since I already showed you the Elvia, I won't bother you with that. But before we get to the main topic, I want to show you these knives. My brother has gotten me kind of shore up the, what am I trying to say? Try to show you where I am in my collection of cool knives my brother's gotten me so far, assuming he gets me more in the future. I do want to talk about these t-shirts. We have a cool new t-shirt this week. I'm sharp, just like my knife. And check this out. This is another awesome design by Jim. Just go to theknifejunkie.com/shop and you can see page after page of knife-themed t-shirts designed by our one and only Jim, and they are awesome. So go check them out. That's theknifejunkie.com/shop. And remember, each week we have a featured t-shirt of the week. That means Jim is in his workshop busily designing and working on these every week to bring to you. All right, let's get to this. I'm going to go a little bit out of order, actually, since this was one. This is kind of like the end of the state of the collection. We'll stay in order. I don't want to get too bogged down because I have a lot of similar-ish knives here. First one, my brother got me for my 50th birthday, and there was also a slip joint, which is elsewhere. He's given me a lot of other stuff, new stuff, but this is only historical blades, mostly American. This one is a USMC Mark II, otherwise kind of generically known as a K-bar. This one is a Camillus and was issued to the Navy. So you can see USN right there on the tang. And then you flip it over and let's see if we can get through the rust. There's a little bit of red rust there. You'll see Camillus, New York. All right. So stacked leather handle. This one has a sharpened swedge and a dull tip. So kind of a menacing knife. I mean, this was one of the ones from the World War II, end of World War II or Korea era, that still had the sharpened swedge and was known as a fighting knife, fighting utility knife, but fighting coming first. On the sheath, you can see the gentleman who owned this carved a feather. I love that. I love the personalized touches on the sheaths you'll see over and over. So I don't know what the story is. Who can know what the story is for this knife? But it obviously got a lot of use, probably during conflict, and I don't know if that means fighting, but probably opening crates and such, whatever you're going to use, digging, whatever you're going to use your tools for in that moment. But also that the fact that it had that fighting tip on it. I don't know. I got to say, all of these knives, I can say this for, who knows what they went through. And that's part of what I love about collecting historical knives, is that they saw things long before I was born, and who knows what those things are. So this is the first of two K-bars I'll be showing you that my brother got me. All right. So the next one I got on my recent trip home for Easter, and I saw my brother, and he's kind of given me gifts that he hadn't had a chance to give me over the past year. This one, that's a sheath that he made. I just wanted to show off his beautiful leather work. That's his maker's mark there. But this, he got at a Civil War show. And you probably saw some of the shorts with it, but look at this thing. It looks like a swashbuckler to me. I mean, that is one hell of a Bowie. Look at the tip of that. It has, if you're just listening, it has a relatively straight edge with a very slight billet towards a very low tip. And then it has an extreme dropping. And by the way, that's sharpened as much as these are two appleseed edges. An extreme clip going down. It's like a hawkbill at the end of the blade. I surmise that, I don't know how old this is, but if you look closely at the pitting on the blade, it seems pretty old. It is a chunk of steel here. Like I said, sharpened swedge, sharpened appleseed edge. I wouldn't sharpen this up, but if you swung hard, you could hurt someone with it for sure. Look at those quillions, one facing down, one facing up, and what seems to be a walnut handle with six pins in it. But just looking at the quillions and that blade, I'm pretty sure that that is a Confederate or Southern style Bowie knife. And the only reason I say that is because those quillions remind me of what I have of the quillions I've seen on legitimate or known to be Confederate Bowies. So that one up, that one down, little nodes on the end, and then that blade shape. The only thing I've seen close to that in historical knives are Confederate. So that's what I'm going on. And like I said, my brother got this at a Civil War memorabilia show, otherwise known as a leather show. And so I don't know. It seems very old, and it seems from the South, from what I can tell. And look at that handle. Very, very much a working handle. This thing is totally menacing. Modern day version of this, I would say the off-grid Cayman has a similar vibe to that sort of scimitar style Bowie blade. So thank you, Vito. I love this thing. And a crazy cool sheath. He is very, very good with leather. If only he'd apply himself and quit his job and do leather full time. Okay, next up is a USMC Medical Corpsman's knife. And this thing is insane. I mean, I'll show you the blade and then we'll talk about the sheath. Look at the blade on this thing. First of all, there's a big D-lam running down here. But a big, heavy quarter-inch spade-shaped slab. I guess it's for, amputating? I don't know what a medical corpsman would use this giant, heavy, tipless blade for. Obviously, that front with the swedge could be used as a shovel for digging. This is definitely a multi-use tool. A heavy walnut handle. I mean, this whole thing is super heavy, and then this giant sheath with the metal shape and the super thick leather weighs a lot. Let me just say, we are not descended from weak men here. This is something that someone had to carry. This Sergeant W.H. Harding carried on the daily, no doubt. Whether on his belt or on his pack, it was weight. It was a lot of weight. In addition to a heavy canvas uniform and a heavy medical pack, and I don't know if they carried a sidearm, but all the other stuff, he had to carry this giant knife on him. So a pretty amazing tooling work, Sergeant W.H. Harding. And the funny thing is, my brother-in-law was in the Marine Corps, and he says everything gets stolen, so everyone's labeling everything. And that's a beautiful job of labeling. On the backside, you see 1976, and then some very not as well done scratching. Looks like a kid, probably the grandson of W.H. Harding, got this and put his own name in there on the backside of the sheath. Just a really amazing and special piece here, not only because it's a piece of history and only heaven knows what it saw, but all the personalization on it is pretty cool. Also, it's got this old leather fob. I don't know how old that is. Probably from 1976. I can't imagine that would have lasted since World War II. This thing is heavy. Holy mackerel. This is like at least 3 pounds. So imagine that, pulling your pants down. Again, strong, stout-hearted men carried that. Next up, a Fairbairn Sykes Commando knife. This is the Fairbairn Sykes, the very famous dagger carried by commandos for, for killing the enemy. That's all this thing is good for, really. There are some of the markings there. People, Fairbairn Sykes people will know what that means. You can see how this was manufactured, kind of cheaply. This one in particular. I've seen others that are more fancy. This one seems like it was just pressed for action. Like some that I've seen, it has a slightly bent blade. It's very sharp on the edge, zero ground down to the edges. So this is a good slasher and obviously quite pointy. I saw a great video. You can YouTube this. You can search this on YouTube. It was a video taken probably in the 90s in a museum with an old timer, SAS guy with a beret on. And he was talking about using this knife. And he said two things. First of all, when you took out a sentry, you didn't stab this in the back of his head or slice his throat. You stabbed it into his throat and then punched forward. Nasty bit of business, he says. And then the other thing is that you didn't really, according to him, and he seems to know, you didn't really thrust with it. You held it to your body, grabbed the guy, and pulled him into it. I mean, that's what he described. He seemed to know. Now, this little tether here is just so it hangs on the wall behind me. But this was one of a couple of lifelong Grail knives that my brother and I had. And he is a generous and amazing man and bought it from me and didn't keep it for himself. It has a really cool but old kind of falling apart sheath that they made that were kind of optimized for sewing snugly to the body on uniforms or boots and other such stuff. Okay, next up, this is one that I just got from him, and it's wearing a brand new sheath that he got aftermarket. Very nice leather sheath, but this is another Camillus USMC Mark II, and I'm not sure who this was used by. And I gotta say, a couple of things here. The handle has been sort of restored. It is a stacked leather handle. It's been nourished and polished and all that, maintained over the years. And the blade itself has been stripped of its bluing or parkerization. I think it was parkerization. But this is also an old one. It's got that sharpened swedge. So definitely a focus on this being a weapon, as the new K-bars do not have that. You can see the Camillus tang stamp, kind of lightly done. And then those quillions, one up, one down, look factory done, I got to say. They don't look like someone pounded on it, but it could be. How do you tell? Well, I don't know, it seems like there'd be more gapping if someone did it themselves, but I am not sure. But I got to say, I like it. It reminds me of the M3 trench knife, where you can push forward on the quillion with your thumb, and then that bottom quillion wraps around the forefinger. So this was my Christmas gift, I guess, when I didn't see him this past Christmas. So great, great K-bar. Who doesn't love a K-bar? I got a bunch of them now, but most of them, none of them actually will I use. So I need to get a run-of-the-mill current day K-bar so that I can take it outside and pretend to use it. Okay, next up, this one is the only there are two non-American knives in this. But they were brought back by GIs after World War II. I'm going to focus on the hilt of this one. This is the Barong. But this is a very special Barong from the Moro tribe in southern Philippines. They are Islamic down there and wicked, wicked fighters. First of all, I'm going to show you the sheath, which is a very typical and beautifully done sheath. I have it wrapped in saran wrap wrapping right now because this reed wrap is in need of repair, and I just haven't gotten around to it, honestly. But I don't want it to fall off. Look at that beautifully engraved sheath there. And then here's the blade. It's got a bit of corrosion and rust on the edges, probably made from an old spring, wagon spring, or leaf spring of some sort. Definitely, this is an old one. World War II era at the very least. So I'm guessing that was a leaf spring or wagon spring. But the cool part here is that the hilt is, I haven't seen too many of these here, is wrapped in a netting of wire. So it keeps the wood portion of the blade not only snugly fit in that ferrule, and I mean it's locked in there with some sort of natural gummy resin, but this is a mechanical connection on the outside as opposed to a pin. And it's very rare. I haven't seen that too much at all, and I really like it. It not only adds, like I said, a mechanical connection. It's not just held. This handle isn't just held to the blade with a gum, natural gum epoxy, but it's held on by those wires. But it also adds grip, and as you can see, it places for your fingers to rest and for the palm of your hand to grip into. So I have no doubt that this was I don't know if it was used in combat, but this was definitely a warrior's knife. This was used, or this was intended to be used in combat. No doubt about that. The thing about a lot of these blades and Filipino knives is that they're multi-purpose. They're used for agriculture, for everyday everything, but then also for fighting and killing. And the Moros, quite good at that. This is their main, one of their main swords, the leaf-shaped Barong. Okay, next up is, now this one is definitely old, but I'm not sure if it's a Fugazi or not. I'm not sure if it's a fake or not. Now, just ignore this wire. This is what keeps it on the wall behind me. But this is another one that my brother got me that is definitely based on a Confederate style Bowie knife, which can be easily, this style knife can be easily found and researched online. It's got a very old bone handle with multiple pins and then brass sort of sunrise on the pommel and the pre-guard there, pre-guard portion of the handle, and an extra long bottom quillion with that downward facing lobe. And then a shorter upward-facing quillion with the upward lobe. A beautiful long buoy with a hollow ground blade. And now it's labeled, stamped W.J. McElroy. And it says 1863. Now, that's what leads me to believe that this is fake. And Macon, Georgia on this side. I showed this to a couple of people and got some conflicting answers, but I'm pretty sure that this is very old, but not actually W.J. McElroy from Macon, Georgia. I just, something tells me it isn't, because I've seen examples of this online now, and none of them are in shape like this. So whatever it is, I love it. It's super stout. It's full tang. It is old. So kind of an old Fugazi is kind of cool too, in its own way. But I love, the style of the Confederate, buoys. A lot of them had that D guard. A lot of them have these, upward, downward S guard, lobed, quillions here. And, that long clip is very, very fetching. Carefully placing these down. Okay, next up, this is a big one. Again, this is something that it's hard to believe that this was a part of someone's kit, but it was. And nicely embellished leather here. You can see that. I don't know how this was done, but it wasn't standard like that on a Collins machete. But this is another big, heavy slab of a knife used in World War II. World War One and World War Two, I believe. This is a heavy walnut handle. This is a heavy, look at this. So this is a quarter inch thick all the way down to this small appleseed edge. Everything else is full width. This weighs about 5 pounds with the sheath. And this is for an engineer. This was an engineer's machete. So this was used to hack through a heavy brush. No doubt if you were missing your Corman's knife, you could amputate with this. But this is not a fighting thing. I'm going to move this up here. Very definitely heavily influenced by Filipino blades, though. You can see that from that extreme downward swoop from the handle. That extreme angle down puts the edge way forward of the hand, kind of like a kukri, and really allows for accelerated chopping. But man alive, you better be a colossus to be chopping with this for very long, because it is heavy. Again, as I mentioned before, we are not descended from weak men, and I'm sure those who carried this were stronger than I in many ways, but I gotta say, it is a heavy, heavy piece of kit. But you're going through the jungles of the Philippines, and you need to build an airbase? Well, this might be a very, very helpful tool. All right, next up is this beautiful Chris here. There's the sheath. And then there is the blade. Filipino Chris is less wavy, has fewer waves, and a less extreme undulation to its wave than, say, an Indonesian or Malaysian Chris. And then oftentimes has this long bit of downward facing straight up front. Beautiful pommel on this one. This shape here, for catching blades, for mashing into people's faces, and some such. This jagged bit here, that is to emulate an elephant's proboscis. This thing holds it on there. I can't remember what that's called. And then all of these gnarly bits back here on the backside of the guard are for catching blades and also mashing into people's faces and just general pain. I always thought it was interesting how this back portion of the guard angles down, because if you don't know what you're doing, you're likely to hurt your wrist with this. But not if you train in Kali, I guess. Very nice hooked pommel here, beautiful hardwood, and then wrapped in jute cord. Or presumably, I don't know what kind of cord that is, actually. Speaking out of school, all of it held in with some sort of gummy natural tree-like epoxy resin in there. And I'm going to go to the main camera here just to show you, like, the curves of these blades are no joke. Those are not there just to look cool or to be spiritual. I know there's connection to rivers and snakes and stuff, but really that is meant for accelerated cutting on the thrust, widening open, and then accelerated cutting on a slash, because it's like a big serrated downward hooked knife. So this was one that my brother saw me admire in his man cave. My brother's got the ultimate man cave, and this was in there, and I was like, you don't collect Filipino blades. That's how cool he is. All right, second to last here, one of my favorites, hangs on the wall next to me. I'm always busting it out. This is the Western W49 buoy. And this sucker he got at a pawn shop somewhere in Ohio. And it's got this weird bone handle. I say weird because I can't tell what kind of bone it is. It's sort of yellowed, and my dark imagination takes me to places. But anonymous bone handle, downward pounded brass quillion. These quillions are super tough. I tried to pound it back and didn't want to mar this, so I've just kind of left it as is. But someone pounded that down. I imagine a biker owned this. I don't know why, but like a biker guy, owned this, and he pounded that quillion down just for a little bit of extra protection when he's fighting that rival biker gang. But just a seriously beautiful and cool Bowie blade. This is the blade that was inspired by the Marine Raider, a Bowie knife, and has gone on to inspire other knives like the Cold Steel Wild West Bowie and you name it. That Western style Bowie here is very, very popular. And the W49 is really the one that codified it, that hooked handle. But this one here I love because it seems like this didn't see wartime. It seems like it saw like gang rival time or something. I don't know. To me, this was on the side of a Harley Davidson riding down the highway somewhere in Ohio, ready for action. The bad kind. All right, last up, you knew what it was going to be. You knew it from the start because you saw it here. The Grail of Grails. Here it is. The U.S. 1918 trench knife. the one that was replaced with the M3 and then the K-bar after it. Due to the serious requirements for materials to cast these bronze spiked knuckle dusters. So here it is. This was a knife that my brother and I wanted since we were very, very young and saw it maybe first on Rat Patrol or one of those TV shows or maybe The Big Red One or some war movie. And then we saw it in our diagrams group weapons book that we would pour over constantly. And he found this and got it for me. That shows you what an amazing brother he is, because A, he worked hard and could afford it, and B, he gave it to me, his little brother. So, my gosh. Thank you, Vito. I love this thing. Look at the points on this. I was just, last night as I was prepping this show, I was really looking at this and imagining just getting hit with this once in the face would just be a horrible, horrible experience. And that's what this is for. This is for trench warfare, for hand-to-hand killing of the enemy as brutally and efficiently as possible. So, double-edged blade, super heavy handle, with those points is just as nasty as it gets, on a knife. And as cool as it gets for an historical American knife, as far as I'm concerned, and I would, bet dollars to donuts as far as my brother Vic is concerned. So, thank you, Vito, for all of these cool knives, and thank you for coming on this journey, down the road of these awesome knives my brother has gotten. I am a lucky man for many reasons, and that is one of them. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Thursday Night Knives and on Sunday for an awesome interview. These are the heart and soul of the Knife Junkie podcast, and these interviews with the people who make these awesome things we are so obsessed with. All right, for Jim working his magic behind the switcher, I'm Bob DeMarco saying until next time, don't take dull for an answer.
Thanks for listening to the Knife Junkie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review at reviewthepodcast.com. For show notes for today's episode, additional resources, and to listen to past episodes, visit our website, theknifejunkie.com. You can also watch our latest videos on YouTube at theknifejunkie.com/YouTube. Check out some great knife photos on theknifejunkie.com/Instagram and join our Facebook group at theknifejunkie.com/Facebook. And if you have a question or comment, email them to bob@theknifejunkie.com or call our 24/7 listener line at 724-466-4487, and you may hear your comment or question answered on an upcoming episode of the Knife Junkie Podcast.